Let's stand to our feet and worship together. Would you please turn to your neighbor and ask them, interesting question, just say, how long have you been on this journey? See what happens.
Stories of what they think your life. never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
Today's reading comes from Psalm, and it says this: Make me know your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your faithfulness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my wrongdoings. Remember me according to your faithfulness, for your goodness' sake, Lord. It's Psalm 25, verses 4 through 7. Let's continue to worship together this morning.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son, to make the wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give. My ransoms I know, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that it is finished. And thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us with breath in our lungs and ability to serve you. Lord, and I pray that we would not take that for granted. I pray every second, every minute of this day, we would be more aware of you moving through us and around us, and we'd be receptive to your leading so that we could tell others about you, fulfilling the Great Commission, doing what you've instructed us to do, Father, and simultaneously that you would be building us up to be more like you. I pray that our hearts would be open this morning to receive your word. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
In 2018, Lisa and I made a Rubicon decision. You may be familiar with the Rubicon decisions. Those are those decisions where you can't go back. You know, whatever you do, when you go past that point, there's no going back. That's kind of what we did. So in 2018, we left our lives in Indiana and transplanted ourselves here to Dallas. And it was, in many ways, was a Rubicon decision for us. And there were a lot of aspects. We had a home church. We had a jobs. We had different things that were going on in our lives there. And we had to transplant down to here. So I had this plan. I came up with this multi-layered strategic navigational plan to move from there to here. And it was pretty impressive. Being a strategic person that I am, I was pretty impressed with it. And so we made this plan. And as the plan started to unfold, we experienced some unexpected complications, some unexpected obstacles, if you will. And the long story short of it is, at the end, the plan didn't quite work out as was planned. And so we ended up having a lot of things that didn't go as we expected. And so at the end of the day, and several days, I found myself saying, "Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you doing?" Because from my perspective, the Lord wanted us down here, but it just didn't seem like things were working out. For modern humanity, that's a pretty common feeling. That's a feeling that many people struggle with, because in their mind, most people have an orientation to a future that they want. They call it a vision. It can be a preferred future. It can be a retirement plan, kind of an idea of what they want their life to be like, how they want their life to go. They have this plan. But along the way, things happen that are unexpected. There's unexpected obstacles. There's unexpected complications. And so people come to the moment of time and say, "This is what I wanted to go. This is where I wanted to go, but I'm not getting there." And so people come to the place when they say, "Lord, what are you doing? Things are not working out like I expected them. What are you doing?" And you may be in that spot as well, even this morning. You may have come in this morning and things have not gone as planned. The wife and 2.5 kids that you were planning for all along didn't work out. At the end of the day, you're like, "Lord, what are you doing?" The knight in shining armor that was supposed to come save you, the damsel in distress, went to the house next door and never showed up at your place. And you're wondering, "Lord, what are you doing?" Those questions that plague our minds when we have medical diagnoses that are life changing, they're life altering. Like, from this day forward, everything changes. And we wonder, "Lord, what are you doing?" The corporate ladder that we're climbing all of a sudden gives way. And we're like, "Lord, what are you doing?" And one of 100 different things that could be going on in your life. And so I know many of you might be in a spot here this morning where you're questioning, "Lord, what are you doing? Why are things going the way that they are?" This morning, what I want to invite you to do, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And what we're going to see is part of the problem with us, and part of the problem why we make that comment with such frustration, is because sometimes we think the Lord should be doing things that he's not doing. Sometimes we're expecting him to follow through on promises that he hasn't made. And so the question that I want us to ask as we look at this passage this morning, it's going to be 3 verses as we look at these verses, is what does the Lord do? How does the Lord work in our lives? And in a way, hopefully, to align our expectations a little bit more with what he does do. And so the question that we're going to ask is, "Lord, what are you doing?" We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and this is a pivotal time in the text, or in the letter, because the first part of the letter, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and writing to these believers and talking to them about themselves and about how the Lord is working in their life. In the last part of the book, he's going to move into a section where he's talking about how they should live, how you should live in this situation, what you should do. And so this in-between time here, there's a prayer. It's called the transitional prayer. And it's a transition from the one part of the book to the other part of the book. And there's a prayer that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy record for the benefit of the Thessalonians. And what they're going to pray is they're going to pray according to the way that the Lord engages our journey. They're going to pray according to the way that the Lord works in the lives of humans. And as we look at the ways that the Lord works, as we look at that, then we can start to say, okay, this is how the Lord functions in our lives. And maybe have a little bit better of an understanding, a little bit more of a closer perception about what the Lord is doing in our life. And so we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. And in this prayer, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are going to go through some things, and they're going to ask the Lord to do things. And those three things that he asked the Lord to do are things that are in line with how he generally works in the lives of people. And the first thing that we're going to see is the Lord leads. I'm going to explain that a little bit, because when we hear lead, that might not be exactly what it's talking about here. The Lord loves, and the Lord launders. And as we look at this prayer and we consider what that sounded like in their ears, and then we put it into a modern day situation, then I'm going to have an application for you at the end. I'm going to challenge you to respond to how the Lord is working in your life. The first thing we're going to see is that the Lord leads. Look with me at verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. The Lord leads. Now, as we're going to see as we go through here, the leadership of the Lord is not forcing. It's not coerced. The Lord does not make us or the people around us do what he wants them to do. Normally, there are a few exceptions. But most of the time, the Lord does not force people to do things. He indicates to them, this is what's in your best interest. He leads them, but he doesn't force them to do it. And that's how Paul and Silvanus and Timothy pray here. Look with me at verse 11. It says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. Now may, an indication that this is a prayer. So he's talking about now, he's not saying, telling them what they should do. He's saying, now may God do something. And this is a prayer. It says, and may the Lord call, oh no, I'm sorry. Now may our God and Father himself. So the first person that's addressed is God and Father, two of his names. Himself, he adds the pronoun here. And the indication here is the reason he added the pronoun is because he said this is something he's asking God to do personally. Not something he's asking God to do through other agents. He's saying, you, God, please, you do this personally. We live in an age where people are very comfortable with the concept of delegation. When I call my insurance agent, I don't talk to my insurance agent. I talk to people that work for my insurance agent. We understand the concept of delegation. When you call your doctor, you probably don't talk to your doctor. You probably talk to a nurse or something like that. We're used to that concept. And so what they're saying here is, now may our God and Father himself, may God, the all-powerful, supreme God of the universe, God the Father, do this himself. And our Lord Jesus. There's two addressed here. And the first is God the Father, but the second is the Lord Jesus. And what is effectually happening here is that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are talking about these two as though they're working in tandem, as though they're collaborating together on this activity. And that is an important distinction for them to make, because in their culture as well as ours, we tend to see God the Father as kind of the hard guy. He's the mean God, mean part of God. And we tend to see Jesus as the easy guy. So we don't always, not everyone sees it that way, but our culture tends to think of God as the mean one and Jesus is the easy one. That's not an accurate picture. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not how God is portrayed in the Bible. God is one entity. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who's not mentioned here but in other places, they all work in perfect unison. There's no like good cop, bad cop going on here. God is one. And he prays according to that. He says, now may God our Father himself and our Lord Jesus, together working in unity, may they direct our way to you. May they direct. The word direct there means to encourage or to point the way or to cause someone to go somewhere. Not force them to go somewhere, but encourage them to go somewhere. And so he says, now may God our Father and the Lord himself direct. And this is how the Lord works on our journey. The Lord does not force us, sometimes but very seldom, does not force us to do the right thing. Nor does he force other people to do the right thing. The Lord directs us. He encourages us. He points us in the direction we should go. But the option, unfortunately, is still up to us. And then he closes the verse with an example of how that is played out. And he says, now may he direct our way to you. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are talking here, and they say, may the Lord direct us so that our way will go to you, to your church there in Thessalonica. May the Lord direct our steps so that we'll end up with you. And that's their prayer. And what we're seeing through this part of the prayer is it's communicating that the Lord leads. The Lord leads us. The Lord leads people who are not even in a right relationship with him. He's in their life. He's working their life. He's trying to lead them. People don't always choose to do that. But he gives us the option to do what he's leading us to do. And that is truly what is best for us. Sometimes we see in our lives, God, I just wish you would make me do the right thing. That's really not what's best for us. What's truly best for us is the Lord to lead us to go the direction that we want, that he wants us to go, and then for us to choose that. When we moved down here from Indiana, as we were thinking about moving down here from up north, when we got here into town in Dallas, Lisa and I were talking, and we're like, you know what? We're moving our lives. We're going to Dallas Theological Seminary, but we've never actually been on campus. Like, we don't even know what the place looks like. I mean, we've seen pictures, but we've never actually been there. So we thought, you know what we probably should do? It was like the notion in our head, we probably should go on campus and we should probably like walk around. But it was a Sunday night and I figured there would be nobody there. That was just kind of what I thought, it would be dead. And so we got there and we pulled into the parking lot and there was no one around. And so we just started walking around looking at buildings and trying to figure out, we're doing a self-guided tour, if you will. And a few minutes later, a security guard pulled up and probably wondered why we were poking in all the buildings. And he said, hey, what are you doing? And so we explained, hey, we're new students and we didn't get the tour. And so we're just wandering around. He says, no problem. I'll give you a tour. So this guy probably didn't have a lot going on for the weekend, which is fine. And he had access to all of the buildings. He was supposed to secure the building so he could get into every building. And so he took us on a huge tour of all of the important things that we needed to know on campus. And because he was a past student who had been there for several years, he knew all of the goings-ons. So he was telling us about things that were going on in here and these different places. And we got not only an open tour, open campus tour. We could see everything, but we got the background story of what was going on the campus. And I thought about it later. I said, you know, if we had actually flown down to do a tour, they wouldn't have shown us hardly any of that. They wouldn't have told us any of that because they were trying to get people to come to the school. This guy wasn't. He was just trying to show us what was going on. And it was a wonderful, wonderful tour, and I enjoyed it. And at the end of the time, there was just a sense of peace. We were on the right track. The Lord had led us to this decision. And then he gave us the security guard to give us this wonderful tour just to let us know in a very small way that he was working in our lives. The Lord was engaging our journey in a way that gave us a sense of peace. And this morning, what I want to challenge you with, and I want you to think about in your own life, is I want you to think about is as you're progressing on the navigation of your life, the Lord is going to give indications, somewhat subtle indications, that he's working. The Lord is going to give, sometimes he works through circumstances, sometimes he works through coincidences, Sometimes he works through conversations. But the Lord is engaging your life, and he is taking you somewhere. And along the way, he's going to give these little indications that he's working. He's going to give you these little indications that you are on the right path. And you're going to miss them if you're not looking for them. Look for them. As the Lord is leading you on this journey, he's going to give you indications that he's working. They're going to be subtle, but they'll be there. Look for the clues. So, Lord, what are you doing? The first thing the Lord is doing is the Lord is leading. He is not forcing you to go somewhere, but he's going to give you indications that he wants you to do something, and you're going to see those if you look for the clues. The second thing is the Lord loves. And what I need to do, and as what I need to challenge, is the way that we often think about love is we think about love as a commodity. It is a commodity that I obtain from someone else for my benefit, like a steak or a burger. I consume the commodity. But the Lord's love is not of that nature. The Lord's love is not a commodity to be consumed, but the Lord's love is a commodity that we enjoy and then we pass on. That's how it works. That's how his love works. Look with me at verse 12. And he says, "And may the Lord," again, this is still in the context of the prayer, "may the Lord cause you." So the indication here is that he's asking the Lord to do something. This is not circumstantial. This is not, may the circumstances around you happen. It says, may the Lord work in you. May he cause you to increase and overflow. The words mean is from within to fill up all the way to the top and then to overflow so that it goes out from there. And this is the prayer that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are praying for the Thessalonian believers. May the Lord work in your life to cause something, which we're going to see in the next word, something to fill up in you and then overflow. And what is it that's supposed to do that? In love. In that love, that attention, that drawnness to other people. The same way that the Lord loves you, the same aspect that you feel of love from the Lord, that is something that we are supposed to love others with. And the last part of verse 12 says this, that you will increase and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. So he concludes with an example. Look at our example. Look at how the Lord has loved us. The Lord has filled us up. It's overflowing, and the Lord's love is flowing through us to you. And the Lord interacts with our journey. The Lord engages our navigational plan with his love. And that love is designed to be something for us to enjoy, but then for us to overflow out to the people around us. It's not something that is designed for us to consume and be by ourselves. That concept of the Lord loving us and flowing out of us is so good for us. It's actually what we need. It's something that's good for us. When we came down, one of the complications that we had to deal with was that our apartment was not ready. So classes started, and then a week later we could get into our apartment. So we kind of needed a place to live. So up there, we had a friend at the church that called a friend who lived down here in Dallas, who called another friend, and there was a couple that agreed to house us for a week. And they were a lovely couple, and they were wonderful. They brought us into their home, they let us eat their food, and they gave us kind of a section of their house. It was all to ourselves. We had lots of privacy. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And one of the evenings, we sat down and we started talking, just talking about our lives. And as we began talking, they began sharing about their journey and how they had recently lost a child. And it was similar to our situation as well. And it was a wonderful encouragement from us to them and from them to us that the Lord had brought us together at this time. That the Lord had used the complication of our life, the difficulty of our life, to bring us together so that we could love each other. And that moment, that was such an encouraging moment for us, and I pray it was an encouraging moment for them, because we were seeing how the Lord was engaging our journey in a way to not only express a love to us, but that love was supposed to outpour to others. And my challenge to you is this, is as you're thinking about the ways in which the Lord loves you, as you're navigating this journey and you have an opportunity to understand the ways in which the Lord is loving you, look for opportunities to use that love and love the people around you. Most likely, that's the reason he's doing that in that situation. Use that opportunity of feeling love, experiencing that love, to look for the people around you who need love expressed to them as well. The Lord loves. The Lord leads. And there are moments in time when we feel, Lord, what are you doing? Why is this happening? Why are these set of circumstances existing? And it's good for us to stop and say, okay, what is the Lord doing? The Lord is leading you. The Lord is loving you. And the last part we're going to see is that the Lord is laundering you. We're going to look at that in verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. And oftentimes when we hear the idea of being laundered or being cleaned, we have this perception that the Lord wants to clean us up, to clean up the trophy of us, to put him up, to put us on the shelf, to show us off to the world. And that's not really the reason why the Lord launders us. The Lord launders us because he wants an intimate relationship with us. And something that needs to happen to do that is we got to be clean. Look with me at verse 13. So that he may establish. So again, the prayer is continuing. So that he may establish. The word means to strengthen, to make solid. So that he may establish your hearts. And oftentimes when we see the word hearts in the Bible, it's not just referring to our blood-pumping muscle, but it's referring to our desires. It's our motivations. It's our passions. And so he's praying that the Lord would strengthen their desire to be blameless in holiness. He's praying that the Lord would work in the lives of the Thessalonian believers, change their desires, to strengthen the desires that are in them already, their desires within them already to be holy and to be blameless. And where, what is the environment? In holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And what is occurring here, or what is being prayed for, is praying that the Lord would increase in the lives of these believers a desire to be holy, a desire to be blameless, a desire to be perfect in conduct before the Lord. And the hard part is that we know, and that we're surrounded by people who are not perfect. And the reality is you and I will never be perfect. We can't be perfect. As many times as I'd love to stand up here and tell you that I got it all figured out, I don't have it all figured out. I make mistakes. I do things that I shouldn't do. I'm not perfect. But there is something that the Lord is building within me, and that is a desire to be perfect. I'm not, but a desire to want to be blameless before the Lord. A desire to get to the place where my conduct is something that is not between me and God. That's what he's praying for the hearts and the minds of the believers here, is that they would have a desire to be holy before him. And there are reasons why that is so critical. There is a rationale why that's actually what's good for us. Because oftentimes we can get the perception that we need to be good. We need to do all the right things in order for the Lord to love us. And the reality is that doesn't work. But when our motivation is from within to be holy, that has some teeth to it and it makes it work. The image of the laundering image is a wonderful image, because I grew up north, and we haven't had really bad winters here lately, but every once in a while we do have a bad winter here. And so if you think of a time in a bad winter and it's just cold outside, and you're, you know, that time when you get cold to the bone, it's like you feel cold on the inside of your bones. And usually, it doesn't always happen, but usually about the only way you can get warmed up is a hot shower or a hot bath. And that's a wonderful thing. So you go in the hot shower and you go in the hot bath and it's super hot and it's wonderful, but then you have to do something. Then you have to turn the water off. You have to get out the tub. And when that happens, all of the cold comes rushing back at you again. And at that moment, what you're longing for, what you desire in the deepest part, is a clean, warm towel. If you've ever had those experiences, you step out of the shower and you're just freezing. And you're like, I'm going to get cold again. And someone tosses you a towel right out of the dryer. Clean. Tosses you. It's a wonderful, wonderful moment. Clutch that towel. You're like, this is just what I needed. If you can capture that image, I want you to understand that that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be that towel for Him. He wants that intimacy with us. He wants to be close. He wants to grasp us and hold us tight. He wants that. And part of the process of getting there is we've got to get rid of some things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. We've got to rid of some attitudes. We need to get rid of some thoughts. We need to get rid of some attitudes that are wrong. But the rationale and the reason why the Lord launders us is not because He wants to put us on a shelf and say, hey, look what I did. It's because He wants to grab us as a warm towel and He wants to embrace us. And He wants us to embrace Him as well. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you doing? More times than not, what the Lord is doing is He's leading you. You're not always going to see it. Sometimes you have to look at the small details. He'll leave His signature. He'll leave His hand. He's loving us. He's not loving us so we can just say, wow, I'm such a wonderful love person. He's loving us so that we can allow that love to spill out of us and go to the other people around us. And then the Lord is laundering us. But always remember that He's laundering us because He wants intimacy with us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to be in a tight relationship with us. When we made the decision to come down to Dallas, I was pretty sure that we made the decision. I think I've even said that a couple of times. When we decided. But Lisa reminded me a couple of weeks ago about a story. She's reminded me, hey, remember what happened? And here's a story. So we were thinking about the process of coming down here. We asked friends and family members to pray for us. Say, hey, would you pray for us? The Lord will show us what to do. And so many people did. And so the pastor at our church was one of those people. And we asked him, hey, pastor, would you pray for us? He said, sure, I'll do it. I'm happy to do it. A couple of weeks later, he said, hey, Forrest, would you stand up in front of the church, kind of give a testimony and tell everybody what's going on? I said, sure, no problem. I'd love to do it. So we got into the service and got up, and he introduced me, and he said, Forrest and Lisa are going to Dallas Theological Seminary. And I looked at Lisa, and she looked at me like, we didn't tell him that. We didn't make that decision. We haven't decided that yet. So I got up on stage and kind of told everybody what was going on. I still to this day don't remember what I said. I was kind of like, we haven't really decided that, but I didn't want to tell people that, so it was kind of a weird situation. So I was like, okay. So I sat back down and sat next to Lisa, and she looked over and she said, so I guess we're going to Dallas. And it was a funny thing because she was kind of joking. She was kind of like, I guess, you know, everybody thinks we're going to Dallas now. But it was at that moment where we pretty much said, we're going to Dallas. Did we make the decision? In a way, we really didn't. It was kind of one of those things where, like, after that point, we're like, okay, I guess we're going to Dallas. But the Lord was working in our lives. The Lord is engaging our journey. We were on this journey, and the Lord was engaging the journey in a way. And He was influencing us to go where we needed to go. And what is so wonderful, and we don't often do it, but so wonderful about that response was we said, okay, let's go. And that's my challenge for you. As you're going on this journey, there will be aspects that are not easy. I don't mean to paint it as though it's an easy thing There are aspects of our journey that are difficult. There are things that are difficult, but if we're paying attention, we're going to see that the Lord is working through our circumstances, working through our conversations, sometimes working through coincidences, and He's leading us. The Lord is loving us. The Lord is reaching into our situation through people that are around us or through Him or however. He's loving us, but He's not loving us just for us. He's loving us to love the people around us. And then the Lord is laundering us. In order for you and I to be that warm towel, we got to spend a little time getting agitated in the washer. We got to spend a little time in the extreme heat of the dryer so that we can get to the place where we can have that intimate relationship with the Lord. And my challenge for you this morning is this. When you understand what the Lord is doing in your life, I want you to signal Him, say, and signal, okay. Not only when you figure out what the Lord is doing, do you say, okay, Lord, I'm not okay with this, but I'm okay with this. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to actually signal okay to Him. Raise your hand up in the air and give Him the okay. Say, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing, and I'm okay with that. Would you bow your heads with me for a few moments? What I hope to do this morning is I want to just give you an opportunity now to respond to what we've talked about. And I know that there is very likely some in this room who need to signal the Lord right now, saying, okay, Lord, I've been running from a relationship with you. I've been running away from what I know you're doing in my life. And I need to stop running. And I need to say, okay. And know that there are very likely some of you who are in here this morning who are at the place in your life where the Lord has poked you and shown you some things that need to change. And you've been fighting it. Don't want to change. Don't want to give it up. Don't want to let go. Maybe now this morning is the time to say, okay. And I know for some of you, the Lord may be laying on your heart something different for your future. Serve Him in a new and different way. And for whatever reason up to this point, you've been fighting it. Maybe now is the time to say, okay. I want to give you a few minutes to pray to the Lord. And if it suits your purpose, and if it feels like the right thing to do, everybody else's eyes are closed, heads are bowed, reach your hand up in the air and say, okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come into this place, to be surrounded by other men and women who love you. Maybe some other men and women who are questioning what you're doing or how. Dear Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, to work in our minds, and to work in the circumstances of our life to let us know that you are engaging our journey. Because you're taking us somewhere, and we can trust you. We love you, and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. At the end of each service, we take a few moments to have what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. So if you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand. We'll see if we can get one of those to you. This is a time for us to remember what Christ was willing to go through to achieve forgiveness for us. He was willing to allow himself to be arrested, to be beaten, to be tried in a sham court, eventually be crucified for crimes he did not commit. But in so doing, he put himself in a position with his death, the brokenness of his body, to provide forgiveness for all humanity if they will choose to believe, to have their sins forgiven and restored into a right relationship with him. And so we then take the bread, and this is a reminder of his body that he was willing to allow to be broken to achieve that forgiveness for humanity. He said, in 1 Corinthians we read, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Later that night, Jesus would allow himself to be crucified. His blood would be spilt out on the ground as a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus was the promised Messiah. So he said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we do just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of you and your sacrifice to redeem us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to think long and strong this week about those ways in which you are interacting with us on our journey. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Well, church, we have a couple of announcements before we finish our service. Some weeks you may hear the announcements and think, "Oh, well, none of that applies to me." The good news is this week, at least one of them probably will. The first one, it's not on the bulletin, but if you are here today and you are a young adult, and if you're not sure if you qualify, please see Pastor Forrest after the service. But after the service, the young adults will be meeting at Alfonso's for lunch. Again, any questions, please direct them towards Pastor Forrest. As well as the first item on the bulletin, men's breakfast. That'll be this Saturday from 8 to 9:30 a.m. It'll be with Dr. Craig Schill. If you've been to any of those in the past, you might recognize the name, might recognize him. I'm very excited for the teaching that he's going to bring this week. As well as on October 19th, ladies of the church, you are invited to Autumn Bogner's baby shower. It will be here in the fellowship hall from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And finally, at 9:30 each week before this service, in room 202, there is the foundations class. If you ever find yourself in the service and you think, I know what sin is, but do I really understand what it is? Or what does salvation mean? How do we get our Bible? If you have any of those questions, that'd be a great class for you to be a part of. Some things that maybe you think you know, but maybe don't have a super great grasp on, just some great teaching in there as well. If you flip to the back side of the bulletin, there's also ways to give there at the bottom. Strongly recommend through the Church Center app, as well as for getting additional information going forward. And to conclude our service, I think it would be a good practice if you'd allow me to pray through today's passage. Dear Heavenly Father, would you please clear the way for us to know where you're leading us in life as we encounter difficult situations, challenges, Lord, that you would just make it clear to us. Lord, may you make our love increase and overflow for each other, for everyone else, and for you. And Lord, may you strengthen our hearts so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of you when your Son comes with his holy ones in the day to come. Lord, we just pray this all in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.